Brothers and sisters, as we come to approach Thanksgiving 2022, I want to share with you this morning that not much has changed since the days of the Apostle Paul. Not much has changed in our world. The more I think about that, the more I think that that proves the wise old preacher of Ecclesiastes right. You see, he wrote, "The thing which hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." Be finding in God's Word this morning, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Be finding verse 13, and when you have it, if you're able, would you please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. The word of our God says unto us, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, we're on the eve of Thanksgiving. Lord, in just a few short days, we will come to Thanksgiving 2022. And Father, we just pray your mercies be upon us. We pray in the days leading up to this great Thanksgiving that, Lord, you will help us remember all the things that you have done for us, and that we will be ever thankful for the so great salvation that you have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. But Father, even as we pray here this morning, we are reminded that there are still those who are lost and without hope, without Jesus Christ in this world, and it is the reason they are without hope. Lord, this world is fading fast, and soon and very soon, King Jesus is coming again. And Lord, it is our earnest desire and our plea that not one soul would be lost for eternity. Lord, even as I preach this morning, there are many pressures upon all of us. And Lord, I pray that this message this morning would encourage us, that it would remind us to stand fast, that it would remind us to hang on, that it would remind us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, in whose great and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, friend, I want to share with you something the Apostle Paul knew the Thessalonians would face, because it is the same things we are facing, if you will, in our day. Paul knew the Thessalonians were going to face pressure. And as I preach here this morning, how many of you sitting here this morning might, by an uplifted hand, say, "I'm facing some pressures myself"? Would you say that this morning? Perhaps like the Thessalonians you're facing persecution. Perhaps you're facing pressure from false messages, from the worldliness of this world, or perhaps you're struggling in your faith at this point in time, even to the point that you have become spiritually dry. Perhaps you find yourself right now living in apathy. You are living apart from God. You know that you should be where God's people are. You know you should be in the Word of God, but somehow, some way, you become apathetic. Apathetic to the point that you're even considering leaving the faith. Pressures are immense today, aren't they? And you may be wondering, well, what are we to do in the face of all the worldly, all the pressures we are facing, wherever they come from today? Well, friend, God has a word for us here. It's found there in verse 15, stand fast. God is saying to us, take heart. Take heart. Because though we face fightings within and fightings without, as the songwriter put it, though we face persecution in this world today, though we are inundated with false messages, worldliness, spiritual dryness, apathy, and even those who leave the faith, yet there is something else that has not changed, and that change, what has not changed, is our need to stand fast and to hold on to God's truth. Brethren, we need to take heart. God said in Galatians 6 and 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. We must hold on to the truth of the Bible. We must hang on to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, because our lives depend on it. We must never forget the reality of Jesus' life and Jesus' love for us. And I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture this morning four reasons and four ways that God has been active in our lives. And the very first reason is this, is God lets us know right up front, you are loved by God. Just stop and think about that for a moment. You are loved by God. The Thessalonians were loved by the Lord. And so are we. Never forget, brothers and sisters, that God's love operates in cosmic proportions. Did you know that you were loved before the foundation of the world? The Bible teaches us, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now just imagine this for a moment. You and I, we didn't know when we were going to be born, did we? We didn't know who our mama would be. We didn't know who our daddy would be. We didn't know where we were going to live in this world. But God, you see, he knew all. And friend, if God loved you that far in advance, just imagine how much God loves you right now and how he feels about you right now, that you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for eternal life. And I pray that every one of you believes in Jesus Christ for eternal life. I wish that all men would believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. What about you, church? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if none would be lost? Because that is the desire of our Heavenly Father. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And oh, how we ought to be about our Father's business today, sharing the blessed hope that is to be found in Jesus Christ our Lord, because God loves every person in this world. There's a second way that God has been active in our lives. And God has chosen you. And in view here is that wonderful doctrine of divine election. This choosing does not refer to one's personal salvation, but to deliverance from tribulation through the rapture of the church. Now, in a day when we are faced with insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable pressures from within and without, isn't it good to know that the Bible teaches, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, knowing that we will not have to face the wrath of God when the wrath of God is poured out upon this Christ-rejecting world should encourage us to persevere when things get tough. And I'm reminded here, the Apostle Paul, who has written the words of our text today. You see, Paul knew what it was like to face fightings within and fightings from without. He knew what it was to face persecution. He knew what it meant to stand against false teaching, stand against worldliness, to deny oneself. He knew what apathy looked like. Paul said of his very life these words, and listen close. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of my high calling in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying to us? He's saying that in the midst of all the pressures we face, in the midst of whatever's going on in your life right now, do this one thing. Press on, press on, press on in Jesus' name, amen? Be found standing fast in Christ Jesus. Be found standing fast in faithfulness to Jesus Christ. You know, in this world today, it's so easy to get our eyes on self, to get our eyes on problems, to get our eyes on sickness, to get our eyes on struggles, to get our eyes on others. We need to get our eyes on Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Get our eyes on Jesus. He will uphold you in this evil day. Jesus will not fail. Jesus will prevail. In your life and in your circumstance, listen, the one who loves you, he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? We need to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have the answer for what you're going through right now in your life, but Jesus does. You may be in a tough spot. You're between a rock and a hard place. You may be feeling weighed down. You may be without hope. You may think your problems are insurmountable, but I want you to know there is a God in heaven who can uphold you. There's a God in heaven who will prevail. There is a God in heaven who will not fail you. There is a God in heaven who loves you. There is a God in heaven who has promised to provide for every need you will have in this life. Get your eyes up on Jesus and take your eyes off what's going on down here in this world, because Jesus Christ has all the power and nothing is impossible for him. Now, friends, there's a third way. God desires our sanctification. And sanctification is just one of them big, long, churchy words. But it is the act of God's grace at work in our lives, through which our affections are purified, our souls are cleansed from sin and consecrated to God. Sanctification is God's work in us, and consecration is our work as we journey with God in our Christian life. Day by day, we are to be surrendering more of ourselves to God, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When you gave your heart to Jesus, whether you did it in your bedroom at home, whether you did, no matter where you did it, whether you did it in a church service, a revival service, wherever that place was, when you gave your heart to God, you were set apart to God. And you were set apart for a special use. God has a desire for you. God has a plan for your life. And so God sanctifies us by His Holy Word, Spirit, and through our belief in His Word. And we're not to grieve, we're not to quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So allow the Holy Spirit of God to do His perfect work in you, that when Jesus Christ comes, He will find you obediently trusting His Word. And there's a fourth way that God has been at work in our lives, and it is this: God has called you. Brothers and sisters, we must never forget that God calls us out of this world and into His presence. God has called us out of this world. We were living in a world of sin. We were lost. We were haters of God. We were rebellious. But one day, at some point, the Holy Spirit of God came upon us. We were convinced in our mind. We were convicted in our heart that we were lost. Hell was going to be our home. And then a magnificent thing happened. The Lord Jesus Christ reached down. He lifted us out of that miry pit, and He set our feet on a solid rock, the rock that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And when He set our feet on that rock, He had in mind for you and I a special plan, a special use for us. And we're to be set apart to that. And that special use is that we would be holy. Now, what does it mean to be holy? It means to give up all the claims the world had on you and surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and be His and His alone. It means to say no to all the things you were doing before and say yes to Jesus Christ, because God has a wonderful plan for your life. And friend, this is a work we cannot do on our own. And so God sanctifies us by His Holy Spirit and through our belief in His Word. Jesus said, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. And I'm just here to encourage you this morning to allow God and His Spirit to have His perfect work in you, that when Jesus Christ comes, He will find you obediently trusting His Word. God has called you. But God is trying to move you from here to there. I want you to think about that. We're all right here this morning, but God is trying to move us up there, amen? But down here, we've got a job to do. And you can't get from here to there if you keep looking back, or if you keep looking around. I want you to think about what the Bible teaches. How many of you know that was Lot's wife's problem? God was trying to get her from here to there, from where she was to where He wanted to take her. And she didn't make it. And the reason she didn't make it is God couldn't move her from here to there, because she kept looking back. Get your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back. She became a pillar of salt. Listen, God the Father wants us Christians to partner with His Son so that we can obtain His glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, do you not know the Bible teaches that the Father is going to turn everything over to the Son? That's why Jesus refused Satan's temptations. Satan said, "Fall down, worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Jesus knew his Father was going to turn it all over to him anyway. Therefore, he stood fast and he remained faithful. In this evil day in which we're living, don't be like so many who persist in hardening their hearts to God's Son and God's truth. Matter of fact, if you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you teachable? See, some folks might have come in here this morning thinking, "I know all I need to know." And if that's the attitude you have, you're already moving away from God instead of drawing near to Him. Already moving away instead of drawing near. Don't harden your heart. Don't fall for Satan's lies. Don't be someone like there are so many of who believe you can get to heaven on your own. Don't believe that by living a good life, going to church, and doing your best, that it's going to be good enough to get you into heaven, because that's a lie. And many have fallen for it. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father, finish it for me, church, but by..." Amen. If you believe in something else other than that, you're already condemned. Don't give in to the pressures you may be facing. Don't give up. Press on. Be found standing fast with a heart full of thanksgiving for all the ways that I've already shared with you that God has been working in your life. Stand fast in your faith. Don't be like so many fast food Christians or spiritual hitchhikers today who are desiring convenience and a free ride. Listen to me, if all you do is follow Jesus Christ when He gives you good things, but when life begins to get a little bit tough, you fall down, you fall apart, and you fall away, well, friend, you've never been following Jesus to begin with. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. The Christian life is based on long-term perseverance. If you're a Christian, being a Christian isn't easy. And if you believe being a Christian isn't easy, say amen. And if you believe being a Christian's easy, then you're in the wrong place this morning, because there's nothing easy about being a child of the living God. Because God says there are going to be times when you're going to suffer for the faith you claim. There's going to be times when you're going to suffer even when you're in the perfect will of God. There's going to be times when you can be in the perfect will of God and you're going to suffer. I think of those boys when Jesus said, "Boys, get in the boat. We're going over to the other side." Here they are doing exactly what God told them to do. He said, "Get in the boat." They got in the boat. He said, "We're going to the other side." They got out in the middle of the sea, and a storm came up. They're being tossed to and fro. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody this morning who's being tossed to and fro by the waves of life today. They're being tossed to and fro. They're scared. They look back. Jesus sound asleep in the boat. Now, Jesus told them they're going to the other side. He's at perfect peace because He knows where He's going. But they're having a holy fit. And they're like, "Lord, don't you love us? Lord, what about us? Lord, don't you care?" How many of you have ever wondered that? "Lord, don't you love me? Lord, don't you care? Lord, why am I going through this right now?" And Jesus rose up. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He said to the waves and the storm, "Be still." Listen, if Jesus has promised you, you going to the other side, guess where you going? You're going to the other side. Friends, we're going to the other side because Jesus has taken us from here to there. Amen. And we may go through some choppy seas. We may go through some storms of life that we never thought we could endure. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if Jesus says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side, and hell can't stop you from getting to the other side because you belong to Jesus. Amen? Press on. That's what's needed in this world today. Press on. Don't give up. Be found of him standing fast with a heart full of thanksgiving. If others are going to waffle, let them. But you be whole found holding on to the truth of Holy Scripture. When David was depressed, he looked inside himself and said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And you might be there this morning. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And then David thought about that for a moment. Then he said to himself, "Hope thou in God." David knew in doing he could praising God. Stand fast. That's the encouragement here. Stand fast. And never forget that we need one another. And that's why Paul prays 2 Thessalonians 2:17, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We need Jesus and we need one another in the body of Christ. For example, perhaps you've been downcast and you came to church this morning and this message is exactly what you needed to hear. Maybe somebody called you this past week and you thought, well, that was lucky. No, friend, there's no such thing as luck. It was a God-ordained, God-divine appointment for you. They're not lucky coincidences. They're our Father's use of others to perform his supernatural work in our lives. We need one another. We need to be our biggest cheerleaders. We need to be our greatest comforters. Right here in this church at Green Valley, because, friends, you know as well as I do, outside the walls of this church, it's tough out there, isn't it? This world's a tough place. And none of us has what it takes to go it alone. Oh, I know some of you think you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, but I'll tell you what, you don't have what it takes to go it alone, and neither do I. Well, how can we stand fast if we don't know how long until deliverance comes? When is Jesus coming back? Well, I believe it's going to be very soon, but I don't know the day, the date, or the hour when he will come, nor do you. How are we going to stand fast until deliverance comes? Well, I think the best way is by imagining the rowing competition at the Olympics. 8 men in a boat have their backs to the finish line, but they're looking at that coxswain, and that coxswain is saying he sees the finish line, and Brother Derek, he says to him, "Row harder, the end is in sight. Row harder, the end is almost here. Row harder, don't give up, boys, don't give up. Row, 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 we're gonna make it." He says, "Keep your eyes on Jesus." You know, I tell you what's needed in this world today is for all of us to get in the boat and row together. Amen. And we need to row together with all our God-given talent. Let us never give up. Let us never fall back. And if we see one of ours falling back, let's reach out. Let's pick them up in Jesus' name. And let's not let anyone fall overboard lest they fall away into a world of sin. And let us pray that we would be found comforting hearts and establishing every good word and good work in this body. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And let us be found standing fast in this evil day with a heart full of thanksgiving for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. Think of all he's done for us to this point. Think of all he's going to do. Friend, one day we're going to the other side. One day we're going home. One day we're going to be in heaven. And all that's taking place here in this world weather can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us when we get home to heaven. Amen. Now, I don't know where you're at in life, but you do. Well, I'm going to ask you to do something very courageous this morning. Because right now, you might be between a rock and a hard place in life. You got some pressures within. You got some pressures without. There's days you don't know whether you're going to even make it through because life is just in a tough position right now. Maybe you're lost here this morning. You don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Today is a day of salvation. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you need to come and join this church. Maybe you've been away from church for so long you forgot what church was like. But God brought you here this morning. You didn't come because mama or daddy or somebody asked you to come. You came because God moved in you and said you need to get down there today, and you're here. But I do know this, God's word never goes out void. And when God's word is spoken, God moves in a mighty way. So when we do this altar call, you need to get up. You need to come. You need to turn it over to God. You might come this morning and say, Lord, I've been away from you so long, but oh, it's so good to be home. It's so good to be back. You may be like that prodigal child who went off into the far country, had a whole reason of excuses, but he would, all kind of reasons you were going to share with your daddy when you came back, but daddy never let you get the word out. He just fell on your neck and kissed you and said, welcome home. Don't miss the divine opportunity that God presents in a thing called an invitation. An invitation's an important thing. Do you got one thing you can thank God for today? Then you come and thank God for it. Do you got someone who's lost? You're not sure whether they're saved? You come and pray for them. The fervent prayer of a righteous man, church, avails much. You know it as well as I do. Let's not be one of those churches that hears God's word, but then we never let it affect the way we live. We heard it, but we're just not going to let it touch us. Let's let the word of God touch us so that God can take us from here to there.